In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And
my friends, today is a feast, actually, of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. It is a Sunday Mass. Every 7 years or so, or 8 years or so, we get this cycle where Sundays happen to have particular feast days that are attached to them that take actually precedence over the Sunday of ordinary time, and that's one of those days today. It actually lines up beautifully with the last several weeks of Sunday's Gospels about Jesus talking about what does it mean to carry our cross. What does it mean to be in discipleship and relationship with him? So what we're being invited into today is to be able to hear the most intense words of his love, which comes from the cross. I'll say more about that during the homily. But in light of this, my friends, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask, Blessed Mary of the Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Kyrie eleison.
Kyrie
eleison.
Christe
eleison. Let us pray. O God, who will that your only begotten Son should undergo the cross to save the human race, grant, we pray, that we who have known his mystery on earth may merit the grace of his redemption in heaven. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son,
who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen. Every time. I'd like to invite up any children who'd like to come and participate in Children's Liturgy of the Word to please come forward. Give you guys a blessing really quick. Holy Father, may these young ones of yours reflect on your passionate love for them, that they may help them to grow their hearts into understanding of your will for them, that they may experience all the grace and joy and freedom that you desire for them. Go in peace, my friends.
A reading from the book of Numbers. With their patience worn out by the journey, the people complained against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up from Egypt to die in this desert where there is no food or water? We are disgusted with this wretched food. In punishment, the Lord sent among the people seraph serpents, which bit the people so that many of them died. Then the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned in complaining against the Lord and you. Pray the Lord to take the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a seraph and mount it on a pole. And if any who have been bitten look at it, they will live." Moses accordingly made a bronze serpent and mounted it on a pole. And whenever anyone who had been bitten by a serpent looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. The word of the Lord.
Hearken, my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter mysteries from of old. Do not forget the works of the While he slew them, they sought him and inquired after God again, remembering that God was their rock and the Most High God, their Redeemer. Do not forget the works of the Lord. But they flattered him with their mouths and lied to him with their tongues. Though their hearts were not steadfast toward him, nor were they faithful to his covenant. Do not forget the works of the Lord. But he, being merciful, forgave their sin and destroyed them not. Often he turned back his anger and let none of his wrath be roused. Do not forget the works of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so he who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
was saying, you know, it's only every 7 or so years that we have the Feast of the Holy Cross, Exaltation of the Holy Cross, end up on a Sunday. And again, like I was saying, it lines up with the readings that we've been having about, like, carrying your cross, what does it mean to be a disciple, et cetera, et cetera. But the reason why this particular feast day is so beautiful is because it's about love of the cross, which is a great reversal. Love of the cross. But it takes a lot to get to that place where one would say to themselves, I love the cross. So I want to be able to walk through this. The first thing is that for the first 400 years of the church, we didn't have crucifixes in our church buildings. It was too shocking, you know, because it's an instrument of torture and of execution. If you want to be able to kind of replicate that kind of shock value, you have to imagine, instead of seeing this, what you see is a man on a gurney with lines of an IV going into his arm, right? Or an electric chair, a man sitting in an electric chair. Those are shocking images. But what happened was, is that over the course of our history as Catholics, Christians, we started realizing more and more in our experience, and started finally getting expressed in the liturgy and in how we even build churches, is that the cross is not something we ought to be afraid of or need to be afraid of. In fact, we started celebrating what Jesus does within the cross, within the crosses that we have. We started celebrating the fact that he's powerful even in the place of death. We like to talk about the resurrection, and we ought to, because without the resurrection, we might as well just be nihilists. Resurrection is essential. But the thing that brings us to the resurrection is this offering of love, this death that happens, this giving of self. So we have to be able to love the cross because it's where Jesus speaks. It's where Jesus speaks. I want to promise you that if we don't learn to stay with the Lord at the cross, we're not going to be able to know him, to really know him. And know him how? Know his love for you. I'm just going to share an experience of mine. When I was in seminary, I elected to go to this kind of like prayer boot camp, like this priest boot camp. And it was like 10 weeks long. It was in Omaha. And it was with 200-300 other seminarians, men who were in formation for the priesthood. And it's basically meant to, like, it's a crash course on like deep prayer. So they teach you how to pray like with the intensity of a monk. And the first experience after the first week is your first 8-day silent retreat. Now, when you do, yeah, I see that. Yeah, you're like, when you do your first 8-day silent retreat and you're alone with yourself and with God alone, stuff comes out. Stuff comes out. It's kind of, the image I have for that is like, it's like re-entering the atmosphere in the space shuttle. It's just like, it's intense. The reason why I was wanting to do this is because at that point in my formation, while I knew that the Lord loved me, to a certain extent at least, and that he really did amazing things for me, and that he was real and with me, I could never hear him. I could never hear him speak. And so I couldn't imagine. I just told the Lord in this kind of like random Hail Mary kind of prayer, no pun intended, that like, look, I can't be your priest if I don't hear you speak. I can't be your priest if I don't hear you speak. It's like getting married to somebody who doesn't talk to you. That's horrible. So I went to this thing, and during this 8-day silent retreat, nothing, nothing. Jesus was not speaking to me, not showing up, nothing. And on the seventh evening, I was angry with the Lord. So I walked into the chapel, and I just sat closer to the crucifix. And I opened up the Gospel of Mark for the crucifixion scene. And I was just started raging at God. And I had some choice words for him. Right? Now, by the way, the Lord doesn't ever get scandalized by anything. He can take it, okay? He's God. So, and it was at that point where I finally spoke those words to the Lord. Right? Pleading with him, complaining to him, getting angry with him, raging. That he says, pay attention to where I am. Right? And he began speaking of his love for me. And it was at the cross. It was at the cross. He's just simply asking me to stay here. The reason why I bring, and the immensity of love that I felt, the knowledge and the truth of the God, of God and where his love was coming from, it changed so much for me. The reason why I bring this up is because, again, it goes back to the fact that we need to be able to love the cross and stay with Jesus on the cross. What does he do there when he brings us to the cross? How do we come to love the cross? We have to understand what he does. First off, he heals us. He heals us. How does he heal us? He heals our nature. Nature is just another fancy word for the tendencies of humans. For example, what's one part of our nature? We're all looking to be happy. Not one of you wakes up in the morning and says, I want to feel like doo-doo today. Nobody does that, right? Everybody wakes up wanting happiness. You may wake up saying, well, I just don't want to feel pain. But that's still asking for happiness, at least at some level. We're all asking for that. Another part of our nature is relationship, attachment. Our souls are kind of sticky for attachment. We need to be attached to people, to receive their love, to hear their love. God made us that way. If he made us that way, do you not think that he might actually want to fulfill that too? But the thing is that as we're going through our life, because we have this good part of our nature, we also have a broken part of our nature, one that's imperfect. And we end up getting attached to things or places or people, right, that are actually become obstacles. They become like little idols in a certain sense. So what the Lord wants to do in those situations is to bring something new into that equation, to remove an unholy attachment and replace it with a beautiful attachment. And that can sometimes feel like a death. Why? Because in that unholy attachment, we are looking for something true and good and beautiful at the very bottom of it. We're looking for something true and needful. And the Lord affirms that because he wants to answer that deep need. He's saying, look, your freedom and your liberation is not going to come about that way. So it feels like a stripping. It feels like a stripping. But there's life that comes in it. The other thing that he heals in us is he takes us away from these unholy attachments and replaces them with true ones, is it gives us an ability to really walk in our life, to not be afraid. Well, why do we say this? Because the thing is that when we're afraid of pain, and all pain, the fear of pain is really just the fear of death, when we're afraid of death, our life is hopeless. Why? Because death stares us in the face at some point. What the Lord is trying to take care of in those moments of bringing us to the cross is saying, no, I can live there and give life, even in death. Even in your pain and suffering, something new can happen. Who's stronger? The person who's happy because everything in their life is perfect and everything's been set up great? Or the person who's able to have life, joy, and peace in the midst of suffering? Who's greater? I would say the latter. Because that person understands that death is not definitive and that they can walk freely, even in the midst of suffering. So he heals that part of us, that fear in us. And then lastly, he takes away the things that are foreign to us. Foreign to us. Things like sin, fear, shame, despair. Those are foreign to our natures. They are not part of our nature. They are reductions or degradations of our nature. He takes those away. But it's through the cross, through his offering of himself as perfect man and perfect God. What does this do for us? Well, it gives us this ability to have life in front of our pain, even life coming through the pain in this weird mystical way. But it also makes us more true, more true. Gives us an ability to see our life with truth and with clarity and orientation. It makes our relationships more true. Why? Because it also helps us with the third thing, which is charity. Charity. There is no love, no love without an offering of your very life to the other. There's no such thing as love. There may be comfort. There may be good vibes. And those are good things. But they're not really love. Love is an offering of yourself unto death for the good of another. But the only way we can do that is if we see that Jesus has loved us first in our deepest and darkest parts of fear and shame and sin and regret, that he loves us there. And then when I see that I'm loved there, then all of a sudden my life pours over, spills over in an offering of self for the other, almost naturally, like it became part of our nature finally. It's in these ways that we start to love the cross. We start to see the power that he can give us through this, the power that we didn't expect. Notice in the first reading that he never took away the serpent. The serpent came back. In the same way, the Lord doesn't take away the cross. He says, no, it'll be through the cross that I give you life. So how do we do this? This is where I'm going to close, my friends. First thing is that I would ask that you actually buy a crucifix if you don't have one. To buy a crucifix. Put one in your home. Have me bless it, sure. But just buy one. And maybe get a second one. And put it by your bed or under your pillow. Why? This very concrete symbol of Jesus' offering for you can reorient your gaze any given day where you're feeling alone or trapped or fearful or not wanting to say yes to life. When you see him on the cross in this way, right in front of you, your soul will be recalled to the fact that you are not alone. You're not alone. The other thing you could do is start reading once a week the crucifixion passage from one of the Gospels. What will you find there? You'll find that the cross is not a place of isolation. That pain and suffering are no longer places of isolation. They're actually places of communion. Do you notice that he was never alone there? Who was with him? Mary, his mother, Mary Magdalene, John, the good thief. Sometimes also the bad thief, which is sometimes me, sometimes us. He was never alone. And what does he say? Notice that he speaks. He speaks, even from pain. What does he say? Behold your mother. Behold your son. In other words, relationship, attachment. Be with me. Today you will be with me in paradise. This will not end in death. So my friends, to be able to love the cross is to recognize that Jesus is present there in the most powerful way. That this can liberate us and that this redeems our nature and that we can come to love it and we will have the freedom and the glory that the Lord always wanted us to have from the very beginning he created our species. He wanted us to be free and to be like him. Brothers and sisters, let us now stand and profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father for all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men, for our salvation, he came now from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit, so incarnate of the Virgin Mary, he came to heaven. For our sake, he was crucified on Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. He rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life,
who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us now turn our prayers and petitions before the Heavenly Father who loves us.
For the Church, living community of God's love and forgiveness through the cross, and for the Christians of the Holy Land and throughout the world, who bear the cross of suffering and persecution in their daily lives. We pray to the Lord. For all whose lives are shattered by violence and shootings in the world, and for the will and ability to choose the path of reconciliation over war, justice over exploitation, and peace over violence and revenge. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who find it difficult to embrace the cross of Christ, and for all who seek the new life of forgiveness promised by the gospel, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all Christians who celebrate the Eucharist and share Christ's victory over sin and death, and for those who take up the cross of Jesus in humble service to others, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who suffer from hunger, sickness, or loneliness, and for those seeking employment, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who support the work of the Church in Jerusalem and the Holy Land, and for those who have died recently, and for the spiritual and physical well-being of all parishioners, we pray to the Lord.
Heavenly Father, you with the Son and the Holy Spirit are a communion of love. Welcome us always into this communion, and if it be your holy will, answer these prayers which we have put before you through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. For our good and the good of all, this Holy Church. May this oblation, O Lord, which on the altar of the cross canceled the offense of the whole world, cleanse us, we pray, of all our sins, through Christ our Lord.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, for you place the salvation of the human race on the wood of the cross, so that where death arose, life might again spring forth. And the evil one, who conquered on a tree, might likewise on a tree be conquered, through Christ our Lord. Through him the angels praise your majesty. Dominions adore and powers tremble before you. Heaven and the virtues of heaven and the blessed seraphim worship together with exaltation. May our voices repraise, join with theirs in humble praise, as we acclaim.
You are indeed holy, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread. And giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you in need of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
profess.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son, and filled with his Holy Spirit, may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an internal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, with Saint Benedict, and with all the saints, in whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May the sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Leo, our Pope, and Paul, our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family, whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our
Deliver us, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For the kingdom,
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Lamb of God,
take away our sins. Take the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, bring it to life to us who receive it.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. Corpus Christi custodiat.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Having been nourished by your holy banquet, we beseech you, Lord Jesus Christ, to bring those you have redeemed by the wood of your living cross to the glory of the resurrection, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen.
Got some announcements, but first, I just want to welcome the Kennedy students. I was told clearly that y'all were coming. I'm really happy you're here. I can't remember why you're here. I don't care. I'm glad you're here. If you have Father Sherrard as one of your teachers, he tells me a lot of stories about you. They're good stories, though. All right? So anyway, so just tell him that Father Parrish told me that he spills all the beans and stuff. So anyway, but I'm really glad y'all are here. Well, so let's have a warm round of applause for these Kennedy students. Just a note about some changes that are happening in our parish family. I wanted to be able to kind of make some notes about this. First off, whenever we're making changes, it's always important to make sure we dial into the mission first, like to remember why we're doing stuff. One of the biggest things about a parish is to be able to evangelize, right? So, and we have to be in a position to do it. One of the things I noticed was that when we first got here over the course of this last year was that of the 18 or so staff that I have, that we have, only three of them were in faith formation. And all those were part-time. So I knew in order to start proposing new things across the parish family equally, right, so each parish is having programming and new gestures happening, I needed to beef that up. So I ended up moving staff into faith formation from administration and also to work across the parish family, right? So it's not just for St. Al's or St. Ben's or St. John's. It's for everybody. However, we had a problem with space. Where do you put them, right? Because St. John's office is full. St. Al's office is too small. But St. Ben's office is just right. So anyway, so St. Ben's office is now becoming the kind of faith formation hub for the parish family, right? So starting this week and next week, we're going to be really moving in and all of our faith formation personnel there. And you can find all of this information in these sheets that are passed out at some point or given to you when you're walking out. It's the one that says exciting changes. Anyway, what you can also expect to be somewhat similar is the fact that like we'll have a site director here. So Anita is now is called the site director. She's like the main point of contact. So if you have questions, you can always ask Anita. She's going to be around. The staple presence that we need here at St. Benedict. And then at St. Alphonsus, Lori is going to be transitioning out of her current role into the new role where she is basically the hardcore kind of like nervous center of faith formation administration. So she'll be working here, but she'll still be present on certain days of the week at St. Al's for a period of time to be able to schedule facilities, ask, answer any questions, receive mail, things like this. So those are the biggest changes. So the way it looks like, though, across the parish family is here the St. Al's becomes the faith formation, or St. Ben's becomes the faith formation up here. St. John's is the admin hub, and then St. Al's office is also being repurposed into a rectory because we're going to be getting, probably going to be getting another resident priest next year. So it'll be the largest rectory in the diocese. So we have five dudes there, which is a lot. So we're going to need a little bit extra space. That becomes the priest hub. That being said, the last thing I want to announce as far as changes are concerned is there was one thing that really sucked last year, and that was having to have different circuits were going on constantly. You can never really figure out which priest is going to be saying Mass this Sunday or something like that. I heard it was so bad that you guys started placing bets about who was going to show up, which I find hilarious. Anyway, but... So what Father Incolin Bizzo and I talked about is that, you know, to be able to gain traction of relationship, we need to be able to gain traction of relationship and build this relationship, we are going to be doing 10 week stretches at one circuit or the other. So the way that looks is that, like, one priest is going to have St. Al and St. Ben for 10 weeks, and then the other priest is going to have St. John for 10 weeks, and then we flip, and then we do that again to be able to build relationship. The only rub in this is that during parts of Advent and Christmas time, and then parts of Lent and Easter, we got to be everywhere, so we'll pause for that. But the way it'll look is starting next weekend, Father Incolombizzo will be here for 10 weeks straight, and I'll be at St. John's for 10 weeks. And we go into Advent and Christmas, and then we flip in early January, where I come to St. Al's and here at St. Ben's for 10 weeks through most of Lent at that point, and then we kind of go around circuit again for later part of Lent and Easter. If you have any questions about that and about what that all looks like and who these new people are, who to contact, it's in this thing called Exciting Changes, right, this update. So you can find that in the back. If you have any questions, you can talk to me after. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life.
Please join us to sing song number 134, number just 134. Verses number 134 of 714.
I'm tired.